that if you think about the first couple Potus Wars that we did, I wasn't quite this smug and smarmy. It's just, it kind of developed as I got comfortable to, your wonderful personality, Mr. Platt.
Isn't it though?
I swear to God, I'm actually a really good dude in real life. Like, yeah, I'm kind of a dick. I'm a little bit of an
Yeah,
asshole, but
yeah,
I'm
yeah. Babies and old people and pets love you. We know, you tell us all the time. Yet I've ever
Hey, we
seen,
were
I've
just
never
up
seen
there.
video proof of any of this bullshit.
That's the trifecta. I've never had an animal attack me, so that's good.
You want me to just bring like a random ass dog to sit on my lap as I pet it as we're producing our content? Is that what you want? Or a random ass old person, like, I'm
Oh
like,
no.
who
That's
are you? You
true.
know what I mean? Like,
The very
some old
first Potty's War should be brought to you on like the streets of New York, where we try to help like cr help old ladies cross the street, or we like ask people if we can walk their dog for them and see which ones take to which of us first, and we
Who's
can
the
start like some kind of counter.
animal guy that was always on Letterman all the time?
Oh, is that was that Jack Hanna?
Yep.
Oh yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yes.
I met him last year in Orlando at WrestleMania just randomly.
You meet some random ass people.
I do, man. That's life,
And
man.
if you don't believe that, go back into the old archives at Chairshot Radio Network and check out Party with Platt from this past WrestleMania. Just randomly finding interviews with WWE Hall of Famer Coco Beware, former ECW World Heavyweight Champion Just Incredible.
But did you get Party Jannetty? That's the question. Could you find him again?
Oh, I couldn't, man. I don't even think he was there.
Man, you need to get a hookup to get you back with Party Jannetty, man. Like
I
that.
think that's a job for hardcore.
Yes, that's a job for hardcore.
Holly?
Hudman.
Kazunite.
Don't say.
We have clearance, Clarence. Roger, Roger. What's our vector, Victor?
You guys are just a bunch of fucking losers.
I'm a winner. My mother tells me so.
Sure, she does.
And salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of Pod is War. And I feel as if that song was apropos for us drunken idiots on the airwaves tonight. As always, Pod is War is brought to you by the good folks at Chairshot Radio Network in conjunction with the Chairshot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
That's a beautiful voice, by the way. Also, guys, ladies, everybody, children, women, animals, pets, old folks, young folks,
Jack
little
Hanna.
people, Jack Hanna, shout out to Jack Hanna, transgenders, pansexuals, asexuals, everybody,
scuba
man.
divers,
Scuba divers.
Scuba Steve.
Drivers.
Alexander Cortez, you know what I mean?
Animaniacs.
Pirates.
Oh, Animaniacs. That's the shit.
X.
Looney
Yes.
Tunes.
Left-handed
Yes, Looney
hookers.
Tunes. Keep going. Okay, they've
Right-handed
ran out of steam.
Narlocks.
I was going to say Vietnamese hookers, but they might bite my nose off. Depends on if I lock them in the back of the car. That's which a movie is, reference.
Witches, warlocks, nerds. What else you got?
Nerds.
Cool guys. Met Gala participants.
What are we getting at here? This is an awfully long-winded intro.
All of the...
All I'm trying to say...
Beautiful people.
Ah, there we go. That's where we're going.
And the ugly people, too. Don't miss out on them. All I'm trying to say is everybody around the world and in the universe, extraterrestrials even, will take your money, too. Everybody. Everybody. Go make sure you guys go to prowrestlingtees.com.
Didn't see this coming, did y'all?
Chair shot. Don't interrupt me while I'm trying to put our product over.
I'm just trying to say they didn't realize that was a t-shirt commercial.
He can't use this anyway because what if the extraterrestrials don't have a head? Then this is xenophobic against people without heads.
I'm trying to put you over. This is brilliant. They didn't even know. I didn't even know this is a t-shirt commercial, and you're doing a t-shirt commercial.
God damn it. They can still wear a t-shirt. If they can't wear a t-shirt, they can hang it in their spaceship.
I'm not denying that.
Shit.
I'm
come
just
on,
putting
man.
Over your brilliance of saying that this is all this whole time has been a t-shirt commercial.
It has. So anyway, let's get to the punchline or to the point of the whole shirt. Make sure you guys go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up your official chair shot t-shirts, all right? That's all I want to say.
Better on it too while you're at it.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head. Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis. With attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan.
I'm assuming
thechairshot.com. Always use your head. Let me go ahead. Before he interrupts me again, let me get the introductions out the way. My name is Christopher Platt, and as always, I'm joined by the one, the only. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together. Show your love for Mr. Andrew Blaz.
Yes, bees, cats, dogs, old people, they love me. I'm a smug prick, but it works for me. How is everybody doing? Because I know I'm a little tipsy. So I'm doing fine right now. How about you, Mr. Platt? How you doing?
You're very tipsy, man. You've been taking shots of a fifth of Jack Daniels to the face for the last 2 hours. So you're not a little tipsy. You're flottied at this point, my friend. You're flottied.
Oh, now you should have seen me a couple weeks ago. I think I drank everybody under the table.
Also joining us tonight, because, again, we just can't seem to find anybody else, PC Tony.
Hi.
Cool. So, yeah, I'm doing fantabulously well, and I know fantabulous isn't a word, but if white people get to make up words, goddammit, so do I. So how are you?
I think it's a perfectly cromulent word.
I feel like I'm not going to have a lot of sleep for tomorrow, so it's going to be a weird day for accounting.
Oh, Jesus Christ. And I'm feeling good, feeling great, feeling good. How are you?
I know why. You already told me earlier this evening.
I just want you to know.
Nakamura manipulating the chair. Oh, no. And the reverse exploder onto the chair.
Styles' knees connected.
Here's the cover. Hooked to the inside leg and a kick out.
First topic. How disappointing was Backlash?
You know, it was disappointing because I'm trying to justify it and be the eternal optimist and say it wasn't that bad, but it was that bad. There on paper, it looked like a really good card. Shout out to Miz and Seth Rollins because they did the damn thing. But other than that, the rest of the card was pretty lackluster. It was a lackluster main event with Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns. I thought it was weird that the WWE Championship didn't go on last, considering that the Universal title wasn't defended on this show. And I'm sick of Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles wrestling each other. Like, I feel as if they just need to go their separate ways. So overall, scale of 1 to 10, I got to give Backlash 4.3. Balls, what do you think? I kind of know where you're going with this, but I have to ask. I'll humor you, Tony Schiavone. What do you think?
Thank you very much. Do you want to be Rick Bikini, or you want to be a Heenan, or who do you want to be?
Oh, well, if it's between Rick Bikini and Heenan, of course I'm going to go Heenan. Like,
seriously, I wasn't going to be mean and throw Madden in there because Mark Madden was garbage. So,
yeah, but Mark Madden's decent. I don't mind Mark Madden. He speaks his mind. I can respect that.
He's okay as a sports announcer, but when I came to WCW, that was painful. But regardless, we're talking Backlash. And judging from the question, disappointed? I wasn't disappointed because I had no expectation for this card. Like, you had rematch after rematch after watered down, no real storyline that we've seen for the last couple weeks anyway, coming off of a random throw-in event that kind of had many of the same similar elements. And on paper, sure, the matches could have been good, but we said the same thing about Mania, and that wasn't really great either. So they're not really good with on paper relating to what the heck the product is. So I wasn't disappointed. It kind of underwhelmed and didn't really do anything for me. But I think there's two words that can pretty much sum up what most people think about this.
Hated it.
Yeah, that's about right.
You think that's clever, too. Like, you think you really just hit the nail on the head, and you're just being a clever podcaster with that one, huh?
No, I just wanted to make the Living Color reference, because I love that show.
That's fair, but you're also a WWE hater, so we're going to kind of take your opinions in regards to WWE with a grain of salt. You do know that, right?
I mean, am I really a hater when they're not really giving you much to deal with anyway? Like, even you can't defend it that much.
I can't defend it, but I try to look at the positive as opposed to the negative.
You try to alter reality just to not quite be as salty, but that's not good. Like, it should just entice you anyway.
Like, no, I just don't want to be a smarmy prick. Am I wrong for that?
Well, no, you do you. Like, if you don't want to be a smarmy prick, I'll take that mantle. That's fine. I'll take that bullet. Don't you worry about that one. But still, the product is not very good right now. The wrestling isn't great. The storylines are bad. The people are put in awkward positions. I don't know. Like, what the hell are they even doing? Like,
now,
it's not hurting their bottom line, but it's still just, it's hard to watch.
Okay, some of the storylines leave a little bit to be desired. But in terms of the in-ring product, come on, man. You can't shit on the in-ring product. Now, Backlash, was it the best show? No. But we still got a match of the year candidate in Miz and Seth Rollins. And we'll get to Steph and his ascension a little bit later on in the program. But, you know, as far as their in-ring product goes right now, like, it's not horrible. They've got some of the best in the world under their umbrella. Like, you can't deny that.
But they get one match that people talk about every pay-per-view. That's not necessarily equating to best in the world. It's not quality ring work when, especially the one match in the last, what, three pay-per-views has been usually the same people. So it's like last year with the New Day and the Usos. Wherever you put them, that was going to be a good match, but the rest of the card was garbage. Like, you can't just write everything off of one match and be like, oh yeah, it's quality ring work. Yeah, no, it's not.
Okay, so Backlash was a dud. We can all agree to that. That's fair. The greatest Royal Rumble was an entertaining show. WrestleMania was an entertaining show. It suffered from the length. It was way too long. And quite frankly, if we go back to Mania, the best match on that show was Charlotte and Asuka. Like, come on, man. With all due respect to Seth and Miz and everybody else, that was the best show on that, or the best match on that card, man. So that kind of destroys the argument that you're trying to make right now, sir.
Not really, because most people still thought it was Miz and Rollins and Balor.
People are stupid, so there's that.
Wow. And not to mention, when it comes to most entertaining match, that was the Ronda Rousey one. But still, that went on for like 7 hours. Like, most pay-per-views are 2 to 3 hours. You can't really, one match along 7 hours, okay, two matches along 7 hours is still one a pay-per-view, technically.
When's the last time WWE had a pay-per-view that went 2 to 3 hours? And hell, your most beloved New Japan, most of their major shows are 3.5, 4 hours too. So what are you talking about?
I'm not saying anything about length. I'm saying things about quality.
That's what she said.
A normal pay-per-view, let's just say, is 3 hours. normally, because that's what NXT usually clocks
so,
in.
So you say that. So you justify your point by saying that show was 7 hours, and then say most pay-per-views are 2-3 hours. I disprove that most pay-per-views are 2-3 hours, and then you say, well, we're not talking about length. So what the hell is going on here?
No, because you're talking about New Japan, and that's not a pay-per-view. That's a streamed product. They don't do pay-per-view. Oh,
Jesus Christ, really? Neither does WWE, ass clown, if you really want to go there. Come on.
They still do if you have Dish Network or whatever.
Oh, you have Dish Network? Because, yeah, most people don't pay $10.99 a month to watch the network specials. Or
you
the
spend $10.99? I mean, you're spending too much money, buddy. It's $9.99. Did you miss the promos?
Really?
I mean, the one that said really?
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
It's your fucking voice, bro.
I know, bro. Thank you very much. So, yeah, so I make one misquote, and all of a sudden, really? Word? So you're going to catch me up with semantics and totally disregard what it is the hell that I'm saying. That's what you're going to do. That's what you're going to do. You're going to do that.
That's the way WWE likes to act when it comes to opinions and how they write their storyline, so why not? I'll disregard what I don't want to hear, and I'll just do my own thing.
Well, that's how you react when it comes to WWE in general, so I expect nothing less of you, and I apologize for even saying that.
WWE is garbage in, garbage out. I can't really expect much less.
All right, so scale 1 to 10, man. How do you rate the... Number 1, did you watch the Backlash pay-per-view?
Sadly.
Okay, and number 2, how would you rate it on a scale of 1 to 10?
On a scale of 1 to 10?
And yeah, that's what I said, Mellow Farmer.
I gave it a 5 because I didn't have any kind of anticipation for this match, this show anyway. So it fell right into the mediocrity that is WWE for me. So I'm like, meh.
That's actually very good for you. You actually rated it higher than I did.
I know. Isn't that funny?
It's hilarious. Like, what the hell's going on? That's good for you. Like, I want to pat you on the back. Matter of fact, bend over. That sounds weird. But bend over so I can virtually pat you on the back.
No, right I got in trouble last time I did that. Let's not do that.
Well, what happened? The salt water started leaking out?
Exactly. And I just had an adjustment, so we don't know how that's going to seal. I like that butt.
That's like a dude getting hit in the balls, man. That's never going to get old.
I butt chug salt water all the time.
That's
like
the breaking
that's
news.
The breaking news, yeah. We've been playing this bit for the last 2 months, and that's breaking news somehow. Breaking news. He still butt chugs salt water. Get out of left.
Oh, shit. Your ass is like the Caspian Sea. You know what I mean?
Let's go to the people. People?
Oh, good God. Let's just go to the second question. What the fuck?
Burn it down! Second question. Seth Rollins, the best in the world right now?
Wait, you're serious? That's our second question. No, Seth Rollins is not the best in the world. Seth Rollins ain't even the best in WWE right now. Like, what the hell are we even getting at with this? Recency bias, I get it. He was in a match for over an hour. Hooray for him. He had the best matches on the last 3 or 4 pay-per-views that he was in. Good for him. His work rate in WWE. Whoop-de-doo. That doesn't make him the best in the world. That just makes him appealing at the moment. And, you know, the other way to look at this, he's just a generic indie guy. Nothing he does is... nothing he does stands out on an indie show. All guys his size fly. Every white guy looks like him. They got a beard. They got long hair. Whoop-de-doo. This is the same reason why he had to put that blonde streak in his hair when he first came up, just to look slightly different instead of looking like generic indie white guy number 27. Like, there is nothing special about Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is just hyped up because he's the best choice that the indie marks have from the Shield, because they don't want it to be Reigns, and they'd rather it be a work rate guy. That's it. That's all.
Even when I want to agree with you, and when I do agree with you, god damn, you're just such a smug prick about everything, and you make me want to just automatically go the opposite of what the hell it is that you're saying, sir. Uh-huh. I will say this. Let me say this, though, because I'm on record saying this. I've said this on previous podcasts. I said this on...
I hate you.
You have said that.
I've said that on this podcast. That's not previous. Yeah. Anywho, that's neither here nor there. You've interrupted me. But, yeah, so I've said this on numerous podcasts, and when the Shield first initially broke up, I said that Seth Rollins was going to eventually be a huge face. He was going to get over like Rover. And the reason that I said that was because his in-ring style was very fan-friendly. And I saw what he had. I saw a little bit of Shawn Michaels in him. I saw a little bit of CM Punk in him. I also saw a little bit of Daniel Bryan in him, just the pugnacious and tenaciousness that he goes about his in-ring work. The problem that happened, not bad for an African, right? But the problem that happened was that...
I didn't say that.
I know, I'm just being silly. But the problem that happened is that he continuously got injured. He kept getting injured, so it kind of stifled his in-ring capabilities. Now he seems to be... I don't want to say 100% healthy, because I don't think any wrestlers are ever 100% healthy. Once you decide to go into that line of work, you're never 100% healthy. But he's healthier, and he seems to have healed from his injuries, and now his in-ring work is starting to shine. But that being said, he's also had a lot of good dance partners throughout this whole thing. Like, this started with the Gauntlet match. He wrestled Cena. He wrestled Reigns. And, everybody else was in that match. The triple threat at WrestleMania, Finn Bálor, The Miz, who has stepped his game up tremendously. And then, fast forwarding to this Sunday, again, with The Miz, who has stepped his game up tremendously. Like, Seth is a really good in-ring worker. But Balls, again, I agree with you, man. He's not even the best in the company. Not when you have AJ Styles there. Not when you have Shinsuke Nakamura there. Not when you have Daniel Bryan, Samoa Joe. Even, hell, Roman Reigns. I understand the backlash from the fans, and they want to cheer anybody but Roman, and we'll get to that a little bit later on in the show. But as far as the best in the world, nah, bro. He's on the short list. He's on the short list. I give him top 15. But nah, bro. And I kind of agree with you again, Balls, because a lot of what he does in the ring, he reminds me... Who does he remind me of? I would say Bad Boy Records in the mid to late 90s when Bad Boy Records kind of took off and they took the music world by storm. They weren't doing anything unique or different. They were just kind of rehashing what had already been done. Because the only thing that Seth does that's unique is the curb stomp, which is an awesome finisher. But everything else... He's kind of like an algorithm of all these greats from the past. You know what I mean? And he takes a little bit here and there. And I won't say Bad Boy. I'll say Bruno Mars. He is the Bruno Mars of this generation. And I like Bruno Mars. I like Bruno Mars' music. He makes really good music. And I enjoy Seth Rollins. He's a really good in-ring performer. And he has really good matches. But he doesn't necessarily do anything that stands out or that is original. And I feel like if he's going to be the best of the world, you have to have some sort of degree of originality into your skill set. Am I wrong for that?
You're completely right. And you said it in a much less smug and smarmy way. So kudos to you. But I agree with everything you said.
God damn it. You know what? I take it all back. Seth's the best in the world.
Oh, fuck off.
Really good in-ring competitor, though. So let me ask you this, because can we both agree that he has that potential to possibly be the best in the world?
If WWE...
Don't do it, because you're about to step on my next question. Like,
yeah.
This is
if WWE puts more of a focus on the in-ring...
No. Give me a yes or no, because we're going to get
fine.
To that.
You just want a straight yes or no?
Yeah, yes or no.
I'll give you a yes, then, to see what the next question is predicated on.
You know what the next question is. That's why I cut you off. What does it take for him to get to that level? What has to happen for him to get to that level?
What I was going towards was just WWE needs to focus on an in-ring product, which they kind of do with NXT, but the main roster does not. So it's pretty bad when you can look at somebody like Andrade Cien Almas, who has yet to debut on the main roster, but is automatically considered a better wrestler purely because of NXT. Most people never saw his stuff in Japan as La Sombra. Less people saw his stuff in Mexico as La Sombra. And yet, because of what they've seen in the last 6 months with Zelina Vega, he is one of the hottest things out of NXT right now. And then you got Drew McIntyre, who's coming back from the indie excursion and his small run in NXT, which still made him look like a badass. And now everybody's trying to crown him as the true face of Raw, who's going to usurp Reigns and who everybody should put their baggage behind. So it's bad when you have these people who've really only had, let's just say, 6 months of relevance to a larger audience, who are already considered elite by that WWE viewing group, because NXT focuses on the in-ring and WWE doesn't. So that just makes Seth Rollins' matches so just rare. And that's probably why everybody looks at them like a unicorn. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can't really agree with that, though, because we have AJ Styles putting on great match after great match.
Great match? His last three have been great matches?
I'm talking about the whole body of work in general. And also, we've got Roman Reigns that has put on a consistent body of work. So I understand where you're coming from, but I can't agree with that, because we've got guys on the main roster that have consistently put on great match after great match after great match.
And everybody still acts like it's this unicorn. Like when AJ Styles got a good match out of Brock Lesnar, everybody's just like, they basically shit bricks, because they're just like, oh my God, AJ carried Brock into a good match. Or Finn against AJ, where he's like, that was the best match of the year. And it wasn't even the best match they've ever had. You know what I mean? Like, it was a decent match. It was a good match. But you put a couple people that know what they're doing in the ring, and suddenly everybody just gravitates towards them.
That's fair. And we're going to get to that a little bit later on in the show as well, talking about, you know, the audience and you know, their effect on the current product. I will say this, however, WWE is not a wrestling show. And if you're going to WWE for strictly wrestling, you're going to be sadly disappointed. That's not what this is anymore. They are a variety show. That's what it is. It's a soap opera. And that's what it is. Like, if you're going to WWE strictly for in-ring product, you're going to be sadly disappointed. That's not what this is anymore. Like,
you're completely correct.
They're the machine now, and they're too big to fail at this point. But I mean, nobody does pomp and circumstance like the WWE, though. You got to give them that.
Sure, their production value is the best.
Really, you say it with a smug indifference. Even that. Come on, man. You know I'm telling the truth. You know that's what it is.
Their general appeal and their production is the best. That's what's kind of kept them as the number one and the too big to fail monster. So you're right. Yes.
Well, thank you.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Now, pardon me as I break my arm patting myself on the back, you fucker.
Just get effort to do it.
Never mind. I'm not going to go. Listen to the show, so we're not going there.
You smile, because I knew where you were going with that thought process. Anyway, I guess we should get to the next question now, right?
Yes, next topic.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
It's a spring showdown.
Andre is bleeding.
Featuring three back-to-back episodes from Sakura Genesis.
You can't escape.
History will be made when Kazuchika Okada faces Zack Sabre Jr. for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship.
Wow, what a reversal there.
Jim Ross and Josh Barnett have the call.
Look out here.
Oh. All new. New Japan Pro Wrestling, Friday on Access TV.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Kenny Omega versus Kazuchika Okada. Gentlemen, could this quite possibly be the best heavyweight championship matchup for 2018?
That's lofty.
That is very lofty. I don't know if I'll go that far. Most entertaining, most definitely. And as much as I hate to do this, I have to put Mr. Balls over here a little bit. He had a really good article on thechairshot.com, kind of breaking down this whole feud and everything that's going on with it. And if you guys haven't checked it out, I recommend that you do. It's actually a really good article, and it'll catch you up to speed. If you're not familiar with the whole New Japan thing, this will get you up to speed with it. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Plug.
Yeah, and that hated me. That pained me to say it, but it is what it is, man. I got to get the devil his due.
I appreciate that.
We talked a little bit about this off air, and you know, one of the topics, or basically the whole antithesis about why you wrote this article, is because our boss, Mr. Chairshot Greg himself, asked you, why would Okada want to fight Omega at this particular point in time? And I mean, it's a really simple storyline to follow. They had that big match at Wrestle Kingdom that broke the internet, and Okada feels it, rightfully so, as if Omega is the one that got the rub off of that match. And he really was. Like, everybody was all, oh, Omega, he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. So, which, he's absolutely right about that. Like, you can't deny that. And then they came back, they had their match, you know, it was a draw. Like break down real quick the series of matches that they've had before I continue.
All right, so you're right. Wrestle Kingdom 11, Okada won, 45 minutes roughly, but everybody went crazy for Omega as the new hot white guy kind of thing in the Japanese promotion because they liked his look, they liked the gimmick. Then Okada felt slighted because of the fact that Omega got the rub. Dominion turns around, challenges him again, and that ends in a 60-minute draw, which that looks bad for Okada because he challenged the challenger and failed because he didn't win. He retained the belt, but that's still not a win. And then that brings us to the G1 tournament, where even though Okada wasn't 100%, he got injured in the previous couple matches, Omega got the win. It was non-title. It was in a tournament. It was the shortest match they had, but Omega still got the win over him. And it's tradition in the G1 and in most Japanese tournaments, if you're a title holder and you lose to somebody in a tournament, it's a point of pride to try to get your win back. So not only is this a point of pride because he failed on his challenge last year at Dominion, it's also a point of pride because he needs to get his win back from the G1.
And yeah, so thank you for that breakdown. But yeah, this is a very simple storyline to follow. It's all about pride and testosterone. He wants to prove that, hey, I'm the melon farming man. And in order to do that, he needs to exercise his demon.
Completely correct. And the sad thing, which is kind of the twist I put it on the article, is Okada needs to win this not only to exercise the demon, but be honest here. I know you don't watch a whole hell of a lot of New Japan, but when it comes to the buzz that you see the most, isn't it mostly Bullet Club and Okada and Omega stuff that you see over the nearly 2-year reigning champion?
Well, I said that initially, that, you know, what, that's one of the contentions about Okada, because he felt as if Omega got all the rub, and he really did. He, you know, coming out of that match, he really did get all of the rub. So I understand where he's coming from. And that's the great thing, because, again, something else that you mentioned in the article is that Okada, he's kind of leaning towards the heel side. Would I be correct in that assumption? Yeah.
Completely, yes.
And that's the great thing about the best heels. They actually have righteous indignation. Like, they have a point. In other words, that's what I'm trying to say. The best heels in the world, they have a point. And that doesn't just go for wrestling. That goes for, you know, Okada has a point. That goes for Thanos in the new Avengers movie. Hell, even Killmonger. They all have a point in how they feel. Or Magneto, either. They have a point in how they feel. And that's what makes the best heels. So I understand that. And I understand exactly where he's coming from. And yeah, he's absolutely right. Like, Omega did get the rub off of that match. And it's like, well, hey, he had a dance partner. And I've been the New Japan champ for the last 2 years. And I've vanquished all my opponents. I beat Tanahashi. I beat Zack Sabre Jr. And again, this is something that you went into in your article as well. So yeah, he's right in how he feels. Like, yeah, you can't argue that at all.
Completely. And it's sad when you look at the way the last year and a half has gone, and the two-year reigning champion, who's some people call him a corporate champion, but you know, he was also the number one wrestler of the PWI 500, and somehow, some way, he still needs to beat Omega just to come out looking better in this match. Because if Omega wins, that's just a feather in the cap. You know what I mean? It's just, it caps off the Golden Lovers reunion, all the Bullet Club stuff, the All In stuff, Bullet Club Civil War. He was the inaugural U.S. champion and all, and the six-star match machine, whatever, you know, Don Callis likes to call him during the shows. And it's just, it's sad in a sense to think that the guy who's held the championship for over 700 days needs this win, or it's going to be a bad look for him and could kind of send him into a little bit of a spiral.
Yeah, it is sad, but on the same token, man, New Japan is now running shows consistently over here in the United States. And if you really want to break into this market, it is what it is. You have to have a Western influence somehow, some way, because you have to have somebody that people can relate to on this side of the pond. And Omega's the perfect guy for that. So that kind of plays into a lot of what's going on. But if we're keeping it straight kayfabe, I completely understand where Okada is coming from. So let me ask you, how do you see this storyline playing out? Does Okada finally vanquish that demon, or is he still going to be tormented by Kenny Omega?
That's a wonderful question, and it can go both ways. Like, I know it's a cop-out answer, but he already agreed to be at All In, which is in September. There's a good chance that he'll be at the Cow Palace show in July, so there's more chances for him to bump into Omega or for something to happen. And yeah, you're right, if Omega wins the title, that might help move the tickets at the Cow Palace, since there's been a slow start to that. But then where do you go with All In when you've got Okada at that match? Does Okada get a rematch at All In for the IWGP Championship? Is that what's supposed to help bring people in if CM Punk isn't like a special guest, whatever? So I don't really know. Like, I feel like Omega is going to win it just to give him that title that's eluded him. But I kind of don't want it to happen in the same respect.
It's funny because I was under the assumption that, you know, when they finally had their blow off, that Omega was going to win and eventually be the champion. But your article was so compelling. I kind of feel like you feel, to be honest with you, I don't want him to win. I think like the Okada side of the coin is the more compelling story. But that being said, again, New Japan is trying to have a presence here in the United States. And what better way to have a presence in the United States than to have, I don't want to say a United Statesman, but to have a Westerner as your champion. And if you're trying to sell tickets to All In and you're trying to sell out 10,000, you know, a 10,000 seat arena, what better main event can you have than Okada and Omega? Like, what possible main event could they possibly come up with if CM Punk's not going to wrestle, that's going to possibly draw 10,000 people into an arena than Okada and Omega?
I mean, maybe the Cody stuff, because that's still not completely put to bed. You know what I mean? But I don't know.
I love Cody, but he's not drawing 10,000 people in an arena by himself.
Well, All In's weird anyway, since it. Correct me if I'm wrong, and this is just purely opinion, but because it's looked at more of a special event, possibly a once-in-a-lifetime thing, there's more allure to going to that than to a random New Japan show or to Survivor Series or to Royal Rumble or to something that happens every year when you don't know if this is going to happen again. And if you can draw 10,000 people, then it's even more historic because it's the first time since WCW was alive that something not called WWE got 10,000 people.
Well, that's what they're banking on. But at the end of the day, you're not going to sell out that stadium, or not the state, but you're not going to sell out that arena with Cody Rhodes as your headliner. And that's no disrespect to Cody. I dig everything him and Brandy are doing. Like, they're one of the hottest heel acts in the game. But that's not a main event. You're not going to sell out 10,000 people with that. You're just not.
Fair enough. But yeah, I mean, Omega Okada would definitely sell tickets, and Omega would sell more tickets for the Cow Palace thing if he was the champion, because it appeals to Westerners, because he speaks English, he's white, it's the formula. I get it. Mm. But I'm not a fan of it.
Hey, man, it's not called white meat baby face for nothing, bro.
Ouch.
Yeah, I said it.
I know you did. I know you did. Yeah. Two tears in a bucket. Yep. Next question.
Long blood between me and you.
Fuck has a branding iron. Fire in the eye.
Straight edge means I am better than
you. Why do the extreme horsemen hold all the gold?
Oh my God! It's kind of like a broomstick.
Oh no no no!
Ah! I'm with the team. Pro wrestling.
I am the best in this generation.
But yeah, shout out to MLW, man. I've been on this MLW train for, you know, forever, pretty much, as far as y'all are concerned, man. And they're starting to pick up steam. They've got the TV show now. If you haven't seen it yet, I suggest you go out your way to go check it out. Be In Sports. You probably have it. If you don't have it, it only is going to cost you an extra $5 a month to pick it up. That's what I had to do. Go check it out, man. Seriously. And for no other reason that it's just really goddamn good to have Tony Schiavone back on our airwaves again and to hear his voice.
That's a good point. Oh, also, in case you were unaware, small extra tidbit. They've got all the episodes on their YouTube. So you don't even need BN Sports if you don't want to. You just go to the BN Sports YouTube and you can check it out a couple days after it, you know, airs.
That's
John Van Thompson from What Happened When Monday with Tony Schiavone and Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. And you're listening to the Chairshot Radio Network. And visit thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Question number 4.
Lovely voice, by the way. Lovely voice.
Thank you. Money in the Bank qualifiers. Braun, Finn, Ember Moon, The Miz, Cesaro, Rusev, Charlotte, Mandy, Jimmy, Jay, Jeff, Johnny.
Everything must go.
You started naming everybody, so go. Okay.
Yes, 2 for 20, 5 for 10.
Sale.
Yes.
So, are we selling something? Is this like the don't mess with the Zohan? Like, you just call your store, like, you know, going out of business? Somebody thinks it's going out of business. It's like, oh, I came in here for Sony product. No, it's Sony guts, but he's still good. It's Sony. You take. You buy. No discount.
You look like you could have acted in that movie. Like, you look like you could have been one of the Serbians or whomever in the Zohan movie. I'm not going to lie to you.
You see, I like to cut hair.
And you probably do, Scrappy Coco.
Hey, Scrappy Coco, you know, yes. You get that nice 1985 catalog or whatever it was. Yes, it's very nice. I like the Scrappy Coco, can I say. Because, you know, you have to have the biggest bush. That is what gets you the ladies. It's the cushion.
Oh, jeez. And we are now officially off the rails.
This is what happens when you drink for a while and it's past midnight. Hey, at least it's actually Thursday now, so kayfabe is restored.
After midnight, we gonna let it all hang out.
Balls is like a gremlin, y'all. You can't let him drink after midnight. This is what happens.
I told you I'd put him in the microwave.
Bright lights! What is this? Money in the Bank? Yeah, those qualifier things happened.
Yes.
That's where we're at. Why are you people in my kitchen? Where are my pants? Shit. But, the qualifiers happened. They were fun matches. Like, honestly, I thought the women's match on Raw was the best qualifier match. Like, Ember Moon, Sasha, they had a nice chemistry. Ruby, I'm not a huge fan of, but Ember is fantastic, and Sasha finally stepped it up to look like old Sasha Banks. What did you think, Pat?
You Pat, huh?
Pat.
Well, Pat thinks.
You might be a girl who could really tell. I don't know. It's just Pat.
So, Ruby Riott, so you're not a fan of Charlie Chaplin with his beard shaved, huh?
Not at all, no.
Fair enough. Shout out to Charlie Chaplin. He was the last guy to be able to get away with the Hitler mustache that doesn't get associated with Hitler, so.
Because he was before Hitler. Hitler had the Chaplin mustache.
I feel like we need to find a way to bring that back. Like, Jordan tried in that Hanes commercial, and it went horribly, horribly wrong.
Great. And he's Michael Jordan. The roof is also the ceiling.
Well, he's not wrong. He's not wrong. Like, you know, it's a matter of perspective. If you're outside, it's the roof. If you're inside, it's the ceiling. But yeah, though, the Money in the Bank qualifiers, I agree with you, boss. They were wildly entertaining and they were good matches. And I'm a big fan of the concept of Money in the Bank. So I always look forward to this pay-per-view every year. So, yeah.
No, definitely. I like the fact that they try to make it into like the number five. Like if there was a big five, it's considered on that level almost. But it's fun. It's a good gimmick. It's nice because it's a storyline that can persist throughout a decent portion of the year. So the pieces finally start falling into place for where the storylines are moving for a while. And I don't really think there's been any Money in the Bank match that's like completely sucked. Aside from everybody's take on the first women's one when Ellsworth went up to grab the briefcase. But that's a matter of taste.
Well, it's definitely the fifth major. And yes, it's definitely hard to have a bad Money in the Bank match. I mean, it's hard to have a bad ladder match just because of all the chaos and everything that's going on. I'm just happy because I was under the assumption that they were going to have 86 different ladder matches on this card. So I thought Raw would have a ladder match and a women's match. I thought SmackDown would have a ladder match and a women's match. I thought there might possibly be a tag team match for both. So I thought the whole card was just going to be nothing but Money in the Bank. So I'm glad that that's not the case. So you kind of maintain the mystique as much as you can, considering that you're going to have two Money in the Bank matches.
I hope so. I mean, there's still 5 weeks left or whatever. You never know. They might announce a tag team Money in the Bank. That's just terrible.
No, that's a cluster, man. You can't really do a tag team Money in the Bank match.
Oh, but they might because they love to just drive gimmicks into the ground until like you start to hate what you used to love.
Well, that's a good metaphor for life. And anywho, I'm not going to go down that
road. Ah, we got all what existential and reflective, and that's
it. That's kind of what the powers that be do. They take what you love and they ground it into the ground until you hate it.
That's true. I'm sad now.
You were sad before you started, man. You've been drinking a goddamn fifth of Jack Daniels.
I was about to say, why do you think I drink so much?
Yeah, like, literally.
I wake up sad. I think I was born sad. I got, like, that Rodney Dangerfield thing going on.
Johnny Cash song.
Somebody needs a hug. Come here, man. I'm going to give you a virtual hug. I've done this on Chairshot Radio as well.
Go to hell.
No. Yeah, come here.
Andrew, they don't help. Andrew, don't participate. They don't help. Andrew, they don't help. Don't participate.
There you go.
Reject the hug. Reject the hug. Reject the hug.
I'm rubbing your back, man. I'm rubbing your back.
Stop violating your computer. Easy, easy. Nobody wants this.
I'm embracing it. I'm embracing it, man. As a matter of fact, here we go.
Yeah, I gotta tell you.
Well, we don't believe you. You need more people.
I just kiss you on the forehead, too, man. Just take it in. Just embrace it.
Before you get smacked the fuck up.
Embrace it, man. Come on, man. Don't fight this. Just embrace it.
Breaking news. Back up.
Crazy. You're just mad you didn't get a hug this week, Melon Farmer. I see right through your bullshit, PC Tunny.
Hated
it. No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
He's going to just start using that now. It's fantastic.
Just embrace it, man. You feel better, man? Exhale. You feel better? Yes.
Should we just remix it back into the next topic?
We're going to remix? You going to do little DJ stylings?
Yeah.
It's the remix, baby!
You just want to start at question five?
This will be an instant classic.
Instant classic.
That's funny. That's what they said about Shinsuke and AJ at WrestleMania.
Hey, my dick is still hard. What can I say?
Oh, Jesus
Christ. That sounds like a personal problem. is to wake me up in the morning. Now just watches me tie my shoes.
But why doesn't it tie your shoes for you?
It's not that talented, man. I haven't traded well enough.
All right. Well, all right. I guess there's not a whole lot to go off of since we're still 5 weeks out. So let's just find out what the last topic is.
And they think they got the answers. I change the questions.
The Roman Reigns walkout. Is this worth talking about? And is this question a conundrum in and of itself?
No, because I don't think it was. It's much ado about nothing, okay? People were probably tired, ready to get home, and trying to beat the traffic. Because if you've ever been to a live WWE event, when you're trying to leave, if you've ever driven to a live WWE event, or even Ubered from a live WWE event, it's a cluster trying to get out that Melon Farmer. So I feel like this was a scenario of a boring pay-per-view that underwhelmed, and people were trying to get to their cars and beat the traffic. And I hate that this has become a thing, because the IWC pisses me off sometimes. I'm not going to lie to you. It does. It
talk
pisses
to their war
me
chief.
Off. So, War Chief, let me ask you this, man. Because I like that the fans feel like they have a say and they're vocal and they let their opinion be known. But I think that as a lot of things in this society, it's crossed over to too much. And I feel as if the fans feel as if they have too much power and they spend too much time shitting on the product as opposed to just sitting back, relaxing, and enjoying the ride. What do you think? I mean, we're going to go back and forth on this, but what are your thoughts?
I think it's propagated mainly off of everybody's yearning for the Attitude Era. And here's my reasoning. You got some of the younger ones who weren't around for that point and would like something to that level. And then the ones around our age remember exactly how heavily WWE catered to mass outcry, because WWF and WCW were both just trying to placate the crowd enough to grab more people. So it was very much the world that the IWC wants to live in now, where if they don't like somebody, that somebody is not going to get pushed anymore. That push is going to go away. They're going to elevate the person they want, because that'll turn into ratings. That'll turn into more butts in seats. That'll turn into more shirts sold. The difference now is that the IWC thinks they have the power because Twitter lights up and you get 500 people that like your comment and somebody retweets it, and or one of the wrestlers, you know, trolls you or takes the shit out of what you say, but they're still promoting your crap, so they think they're getting visibility and they think they're getting somewhere, when really they're accomplishing nothing, and they're just, it's like writing letters in water. Like, they're just screaming at air. It's ridiculous.
It's funny, because I had this conversation with Hillbilly Jim, and yes, I'm name dropping here. But I asked...
We mean actual Hillbilly Jim.
Yeah, like the actual Hillbilly Jim. Yeah, like the actual WWE Hall of Famer. And I asked him point blank if he could see a scenario in which wrestling could ever get back to its heyday. Meaning, you know, the 80s of Hulkamania, the 90s of the Attitude Era. And even before that, like, you know, we're, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. Like, wrestling was extremely over. If you don't believe me, go back to WWE Network and watch some of those events in the 60s and 70s. And just listen to how rabid that crowd is. Like, it's flipping amazing. Mm-hmm. And his argument was it can't, because there's just so many other options now to, you know, for your dollar and for your attention. So he didn't think that they could ever get back to that point. But, it's weird now, because, you know, the WWE, and we're talking WWE here, they caved to the pressure with Daniel Bryan? Like, if we're going on the assumption that that wasn't their original plan for WrestleMania 30, they had a whole nother plan, and the fans forced them to change it up. Like, if we're going off that assumption, I feel like that empowered the fans to make them think that they actually had a voice, which is not bad. Like, you want people to be, you know, you want people to participate and into your shows, but at the same time, it's hard to put on a show. So, like, could you imagine, let's say Friends. Okay, we'll just use Friends as example because I'm assuming that most of our listeners are white. So they can, you know, that's easy. So let's say, exactly. So, you know, you might have wanted Raw or Rachel and Joey to end up together, but obviously the writers had Ross and Rachel ended up together. So what would happen if you just, the studio audience just hijacked Friends and just started booing because the last episode Ross and Rachel ended up together when they really wanted Joey and Rachel to end up together? Like, how does that even play? You know what I mean? Like, you can't even fathom something like that happen because that's not what you do. You just go along for the ride, right?
I get what you're saying.
And, I mean, you know, in all fairness, WWE, you know, some people say I'm a WWE apologist, but I try to be a realist, and I understand as a fellow businessman, I understand sometimes you got to do shit to make money. So I understand, you know, that's the bottom line is the bottom line, but they haven't really done the best job in recent years of making people care into the storylines. So I understand that, like, it's twofold. Like, there's culpability on both sides, but I just don't like this new era that we live in, that everybody has a voice, because everybody doesn't deserve to have a voice. Like point blank period. Most people are stupid nowadays. Most people need to shut the fuck up and listen to some smarter melon farmers anyway, but everybody has a voice now. And I blame social media. I blame the access that it has. The best thing about social media is that everybody has a voice now. But conversely, the worst thing about social media is that everybody has a voice now, and everybody hasn't earned the right to have a voice.
That is completely true. I can't argue with any of that because I agree 100%. And part of the other thing, just to not necessarily nitpick what you said, but just to spin it a little, is it's not necessarily that people are majorly stupid. Because stupid is a harsh word.
No.
I'm not disagreeing.
That's not sugarcoated now.
Even trying to sugarcoat, but when it comes to WWE, I agree that on majority, most people in the planet are fucking dumb. But when it comes to the WWE wrestling community, it's a concept of comprehension. Like, I'm not saying I want to see everybody's SAT scores and see what they got in comprehension to actually understand what the fuck is going on. But there are people like this whole Roman walkout thing. Everybody interpreted it the way to fit their narrative. That's all it is. And when you're reading comprehension level is literally at whatever you want to use to make your argument sound better. That's not stupid. It's ignorant. It's just misuse of, sadly, the power everybody's given because everybody has a voice. Because then you're going to have that one person that looks at it and goes, oh, no, that makes sense in their head because they agree with you. And then you get, you know, it's that weird word of mouth concept where you tell two people and they tell two people and then they tell seven people or whatever the hell it is, and then it turns into this cavalcade of, you know, dodos jumping off a fucking cliff. And that's what this turned into. Like, I live in Jersey, as we all should know, from the Vince Russo impressions and from Tugboat showing up and all this other stuff. But Newark, North Jersey, that's shit. When it comes to actually trying to get out of there and drive, if you're in New York, you have to take the tunnel up. That's terrible. If you're in Staten Island, you have to go over there. That's terrible. Driving in North Jersey and New York area is painful. You will be stopped in the parking lot for 45 minutes just trying to get out. And then that's not even counting the freaking highways and freeways and all them other stuff you have to take just to get home. Like, it is not a fun drive from North Jersey down to wherever the hell you may live. So I'm pretty sure Platt hit the nail on the head when it was just people trying to get home, and the show was boring, and the show did nothing. And then at some point there was writing on the wall where when Joe didn't get him to tap out and Joe slowed the whole thing down, you knew Roman was making a comeback. You knew it was going to end up with Roman with his hand raised. So why do you have to watch it when you know it's going to end up with some number of Superman punches and a spear or two?
And I feel like a lot of that was Joe trying to play heel, because you want to cheer Joe because he's cool. Like, he's a badass. He goes out, he whoops ass, he takes names, he talks it like he walks it, and then he goes out and proves it. So I felt like that was him trying to play heel, like, you know, because he put on a couple of rest holds on Roman there. So I feel like that's what was going on there. That was just him being a veteran, trying to play to the crowd and trying to play his role, which was that of the heel.
Yeah, it seemed like he was trying to assert his dominance, because Joe was dominant over Reigns for the longest time this past year. Like, I don't think he lost to Reigns one-on-one at all since debuting on Raw. I think there was that one, like, triple threat or whatever the hell that Roman ended up pinning him, but it wasn't a clean one-on-one, so it's irrelevant. And now Roman suddenly gets a win, and you lose a possible story you could have had with Joe being able to hold that over top of Reigns' head. And Reigns didn't need this win. Reigns could have lost and still have been using the same story where he technically should be the Universal Champion, because that's even what the referee said. So then when he gets that belt, maybe the next shakeup Joe comes over and Joe's still undefeated against Roman. That's a built-in storyline right there that you can have permeate or resonate for a year of just Joe has his number. Joe is better than him. So when Joe and him finally bump into each other again, that could be a legitimate feud without a lot of build. It's kind of like Reigns has his number over Styles. If they ever bump into each other again, for as good as we know Styles is, Reigns still beats him most of the time.
And I feel like that was the story they were trying to tell. Did they do the best job of conveying that? No. But I felt like Joe kind of went into that a little bit in, you know, into the build in this matchup. And I think that's why, you know, a lot of the rest holds, like I said earlier, a lot of the rest holds and whatnot, he was trying not to get cheered. Like, he's a veteran wrestler and he understands he's playing the part of the heel. So he's doing his part, trying not to get cheered. You understand what I'm saying?
I
want to go back to the bigger picture here that we kind of hit on is the reason that I hate the media is because they frame the storyline for people. So regardless of where you fall on the political spectrum, you're going to get your news from that particular outlet. But, and you're going to adhere to that. But the narrative has already been framed by the media. So you're not even really getting to the crust of whatever the issue is. And I feel like that's what's going on here with this Roman thing. Like, it's cool to hate Roman. Like, we hate Roman. So we're always going to go out of our way to find things that fit our narrative, as in, i.e., Roman Reigns isn't over. He shouldn't be getting pushed. I don't understand why the WWE is getting pushed. So we're going to look for things that fit into that narrative. And we do that. We all do that as human beings. It's called confirmation bias. So in other words, we look for things that fit into our personal narrative, and the information that we receive that doesn't fit into that personal narrative, we totally disregard it. Or we classified it as, well, now it's fake news or whatever the case may be. So that's what we do as human beings. And I feel like that's what's going on in WWE and just in society in general, which is very dangerous because it creates a us versus them mentality, which, you know, at this point in time, this is the point in time we need to be kind of coming more together. But I don't really want to get into that. I'm getting off into another tangent. But I feel like that's what's going on here in WWE. And instead of just sitting back and enjoying the show that they're trying to put on and realizing that at the end of the day, we're all fans. They just want to just be angry and hate watch. Like, that's a new thing, too, that's going on here, man. Melon Farmer's hate watch shit. I don't even understand that. I'm not going to spend time or waste my time because, you know, time is valuable. Like, you know, time is infinite in itself, but as far as we go on this particular life, our time is finite. So I'm not going to waste my time sitting up there watching and participating with Melon Farmers about some shit that I don't like. That's asinine. Like, I don't even understand that mentality. Like, what the hell is wrong with people, balls?
It's exactly what you just said. It's confirmation bias. It's all validation. And if I watch something to hate watch it, and then I make a podcast, I post a review, I make a YouTube video, or I tweet a couple things about how garbage it was and all this other stuff, and you get enough people to validate your opinion. Now, when it comes to podcasts or YouTube hits or something like that, that could turn into monetary compensation, so you could get some of the money back. But long and short, it's just, it's stroking the ego. And that's all it really is, because somebody wants to watch something, and then negativity gets more publicity than a positive spin. Like, anything you say negative about anything, more people will be like, oh, wow, he just shit on this, a lot longer than, oh, wait, no, he actually put that over. Like, you know, when you think of even podcasts, when somebody buries somebody, is it not funnier than when they put him over?
That's fair, and I can respect that. Like, if you're willing, if you can turn your hate or spin your hate or whatever, you know, what it is, into monetary value, I respect that. I have no choice but to. But the majority of these melon farmers on the internet, they're just hating to just be hating, and that makes no sense to me. It's like, dude, yeah, are there some legitimate critiques about the WWE, about professional wrestling in general, and where we're at? Yes. Are there legitimate critiques about Roman Reigns and how he's been pushed? Yes. But come on, man. And I caught myself doing this, and this is why I kind of unplugged from the dirt sheets and whatnot. Like, the only site I go to now to get my wrestling news is thechairshot.com, because we have the best and most comprehensive footage and coverage of professional wrestling in the industry. But I kind of unplugged myself from the dirt sheet matrix for that particular reason, because I saw myself going down that same rabbit hole. Like, I'm sitting up here and I'm hate watching this thing that I grew up loving. And you know, I forgot that at the end of the day, I'm doing this because I'm a fan. And if I wasn't a fan, why the hell am I wasting my time watching this? So I had to unplug from that, because it's just so much negative, negative, negative. And that shit weighs on you after a while, man. And I feel like the fans, and something else, I feel as if because of social media, because of this, because of that, because kayfabe has been so broken, that people feel like they know what's going on more than ever, even though we don't have any idea what's going on. So I feel like that plays into it a little bit as well, because melon farmers think that they're insiders, even though they have no idea what's going on with that industry.
I agree with you 1,000%. And negativity sells, sex sells. What else can you do?
Speaking of sex, that's what y'all need to do. Go figure out how to go get you guys some buns.
That's what you need.
Yeah, that's what you need. And if you can't get it on your own, save up some pennies and go buy yourself some buns. That's the bottom line. Because, yeah, you shouldn't get this riled up over fake fighting, okay? Period. Relax.
You right.
Relax.
Yeah. So, now that we've severely just, you know, basted the idiots, I think this is a nice time to put it in the oven, let it sit, and maybe revisit this next week.
Yeah, fair enough. I can smoke a bag of that. So, anywho, so, Balls, let the good people know where they can find you.
You could find me on the Twitter at IWC Warchief, because someone's got to lead these pack of morons off the cliff, or at least to something better. Or you can always just flame me or send me stuff. Send me pretty pictures. Send me reasons why Roman's terrible and why this actually meant that he just sucks. At Andrew Belez at thechairshot.com. Palette, where can they find you?
I kind of feel like you're going to get like 87 dick pics now this week. I don't know why. That's just, yeah.
Oh, baby.
I think that's going to happen.
That but could be fun.
Well, all right. That depends on your definition of fun, but you know, no judgment here. You know, nothing, there's anything wrong with that. You guys can find me on Twitter at The Real C Platt. Again, I'm at The Real C Platt on Twitter. And hey, friends, ladies, gentlemen, whomever, whatever you identify with, make sure you guys go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up your official, like a referee's whistle, chair shot t-shirts, ladies and gentlemen. Please and thank you. BC Tunney, where can they find you, bruh?
Where sports meets entertainment.
Cool. All right, so.
And within shouting distance.
Cool. Well.
BC Tunney, the church.
Yeah, that's great.
Thanks for having me back again this week, guys.
Well, it wasn't by choice. So just know that. And it's not, yeah. You, not only were you not our first choice. Exactly. You weren't even our 101st choice. So
I'm so glad you have a new favorite, like little soundbite to go to.
You should be.
I know.
Well, this is your fault, so you know.
I'm fine with it. Now we just need to get him 2 snaps, a twist, and a kiss.
Well, that's what's going to happen when we get off the air. He's going to do his 2 snaps, twist, and kiss.
Oh, baby.
While he plays It's Raining Men in the background.
Well, we don't believe you. You need more people.
That's a different song.
Yes, very different. Anywho, man, we've kept you guys long enough, man. For Andrew Snowflake Balls, for the Commissioner PC Tunney, my name is Christopher Platt. We appreciate you guys tuning in for another episode of Pod is War. Again, before we get out of here, make sure you go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Go pick up your official chair shot merchandise. And if you want to keep up with the latest, greatest, up-to-date is in the wild, wonderful, wacky world of professional wrestling, you go to thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Hit it, Carly. Nice, Pop.
Where's Hulk Hogan?
When I get buried, I'm coming down the aisle to this song, just so y'all know.
Does Amber know that?
Yes.
I'm just making sure.
Yes. It's non-negotiable.